Accession number 31430, Mr. Leslie Higgins, Reel 3. Now, what about your call-up? That must have been looming by 52.
By then, the Korean War was on. We were following that quite closely, you know, as young men. And when the National Service requirement came up, I thought to myself, if I carry on my apprenticeship, I'm going to go in the forces at age 21, 22, and be in there with 18-year-olds. And I thought, no, I think I want to go in and be with the same age group. So I broke the apprenticeship, which you were allowed to do in this case. So I went in and I accepted to do National Service for 2 years.
Now, when were you called up?
The actual date of starting, November 1952. My DMOG group number was 5221.
Now, tell me about the process of being called up. Firstly, you had to decide whether you'd break your apprenticeship, and you did.
Yeah,
What are the back? You know, what else has to be done? I mean, there's medicals, there's tests.
Well, we were told to, after any paperwork was done and signed, we reported to the barracks at Brentwood. That was the Essex Regiment's depot, although I didn't know then. We reported there for the medical. Went through all the medical, the eyes, the checking of the water and breathing and all the rest of it that goes with a military thing. And then we were told to wait outside. And at the end of the day, we were told that's it, we were in the army.
And any choice of what you were in?
Well, when they first asked what did I want to become, I asked to become a guardsman, but I was too short. I was a half an inch too short. So the next thing was infantry. So we were Essex Regiment Infantry, 1st Battalion.
So you were called up to Brentwood. Is that Worley Barracks?
Worley Barracks, as it was, yeah.
And you went there in November. Now, what do you remember of... when you arrive, had you had any military training at all?
Yeah, I've been an army cadet.
Now, tell me about your army cadet training. We'll do that before we do go on to Wally, because I should have asked you about that. When did you started with the army cadets?
Army cadets, I joined the army cadets in, let's see, what would it be, 1946, 47.
And where were they based?
Gordon Road, Ilford. Essex Regiment Training Company or something down there.
And you just walked in, and you'd be, about 13 or 14?
Yeah,
14, probably. So
yeah, I wanted to be join the Army Cadets. I'd seen the boy, you know... The
why had you done it?
Why? Well, I've seen them wear uniforms and... I thought to myself, well, that looks good. You can wear that weekend, you know. And then they talked to us about it and told us how we'd be using firearms and drilling and driving tanks and doing all the colourful side of the army cadet life, you know. And I thought it sounds fairly good, you know, and that was quite good.
So what uniform did they kit you out with as a cadet?
Khaki, anything? Top to bottom, you know. Beret, jacket, shirt, trousers, tie. Although we had a walk-up collar, you know, that looked there, you didn't have a tie then. And boots, which I'd never had before in my life, you know, that was a good thing. And that generally was it. We went away to camp and that.
Now, tell me what you do. Would you have a drill night, like in the TA, where you'd go to Gordon Road?
Yeah, once a week we had a drill.
Now, what would you do? How did they start your training before you start going away, you know, to camp?
Well, you learn to march.
Now, tell me about drill. How did you cope with drill?
Me, I found it easy. I was very easy drilling. Very easy. I found marching easy. I found...
Did you enjoy it? I mean...
Oh, yeah. And weapon training.
I'll come to that. With the drill, did you understand the point of it at that young age?
Only what they said, and they said, you know, when we snap our fingers, we expect you to react, and that's the same with when we give you orders. Don't question orders, carry them out. And I think I was I related to that quite quickly.
Now, what about weapons training? How did they start you on that?
The rifle, first of all, showed us what it was capable of doing. Also, how to use it, how it was used ceremonially, you know, for drill, and how it was used as a weapon of war and all that kind of thing.
What do you think? Did you actually get to fire it, or was it a .22?
Yeah, no, 303.
And what was it like the first time you fired it?
Knocked me on the floor nearly. Because they didn't tell you. They just said, you know, put a shot and load it, give you one bullet to put in, and you put it in and keep facing down the range. Okay, now see if you can hit the target. And you bang, and you're on your backside almost. Because being a kid, you know, it was. But once you got used to it.
You did get used to it.
You used to it.
Were you a decent shot? Did you understand the principles of marksmanship?
Yeah, rifle shooting, yeah. I can come to that later with the army training.
But you'd started with the cadets.
That was my introduction to it.
What about bayonet? Did the cadets do bayonet or not?
No, we didn't fix bayonets ever.
So what are the weapons?
We were told of them about where it fixed and how it fixed, and we were shown, but we never ran about with bayonets.
What about any of the other weapons?
We were shown the Sten gun, which was a pretty cheap weapon, as you were aware, probably.
And did you actually fire it? Because it's dangerous as well.
No,
I mean, as kids, you didn't fire it.
We got to cock the barrel and squeeze the trigger and were shown the principles of how it fires single rounds or automatic. That's about it.
What about Bren gun or Lewis?
No, we never had introduced to Brens or machine guns. Not at that stage.
And not grenades either.
No.
Now, so that's weapons training. What about other? What about PT and keeping fit?
Well, PT, we did that.
With the cadets?
With the cadet night. You always done a little bit of exercise. First of all, you started off running round. And then you done sits and squats and then on your hands and did your general, you know, arms and down, out and down and running on the spot, which we just took most of our clothes off and run about in what we got on, you know, short trousers and a vest. But they all tried to incorporate that with the general training sessions.
Any other training at the drill night?
Taught us how to salute, how to stand to attention and at ease, and how to stand to attention and not fall over, you know, faint.
Now, what about weekends or tactical training, you know, when they went away?
Well, when you went away, which you did some weekends.
What would you do on a weekend?
Well, you would use, what do they call it, something craft.
Fieldcraft.
We were taught fieldcraft, crawling with a weapon and manoeuvring about and generally hiding yourself and camouflage.
What sort of camouflage were you using?
Whatever that was available. You know, we weren't given black dubbing and stuff like that. You had to find it. Mud or dirt or grass, whatever made your face discoloured and your hands, you know, that was great fun.
And what about, did you practice attacking place, you know,
yeah,
what they call tactical exercise?
Tactical, yeah, attack and support, covering, fire and that. That's when you would then see perhaps a Bren gun with you, but a soldier would, or a senior cadet would be in handling that.
And how realistic were the exercises?
Quite, well, for us then, you know, it was like being in the films. You know, John Wayne and Errol Flynn stuff, you know.
You enjoyed it.
It was great, yeah, yeah. Especially when you were, at the end of the day, were told that you'd captured an enemy emplacement or gun impound or compound or whatever your target was, you know. But that was fun.
Now, so that's the weekend. What about annual camp?
Annual camp, we went away for 2 weeks, I think, if I remember rightly. I don't know quite where we went. I would think it was somewhere like Colchester, but I'm not sure.
Doesn't matter too much. And what would you do there?
Well, again, you do your drill training, and then you would do mostly field craft and attack and defend, that sort of thing. You know, you'd either be red team or blue team. and you either dug in somewhere and defended, or you crept up and attacked. And
so much the same, really, as you did at the weekend.
What are they saying? Well, we're showing you how to do this here. We're now going to do it on a bigger scheme. But there was probably other training companies as well there from different areas of Ilford or Essex, you know. And it's the first time I've probably seen maybe 200 or 300 cadets all together on arrival and departing parade, you know.
Now, how old were you when you started? Just another way of getting this. I think 14 or younger.
Yeah. I think about 15. 14 or 15.
So about 1948, roughly. Yeah. And when did you finish, or did you not finish until you went away?
I finished with the Army Cadets. I was trying to think. It was when I was doing the wall tiling in the second part of it, because the firm I worked for wouldn't release me to go to weekend camps.
So it'd be sort of 51 or 52?
Yeah, the beginning of 52. Right at the beginning of 52.
And that was the only reason you left. Had you got any promotion?
No, not then. I'd never been a...
So that was the Army Cadets. So that was a good background
to go into. Had you
had any other military training at all?
No.
You weren't in the scouts or anything?
No.
Now, so tell me about when you went to... So you've been called up and you go to join the Essex Primary
Essex
Training
Depot,
Centre.
Yeah.
But the,
at Worley Barracks.
At Worley Barracks, yeah. It's at Brentwood.
Yeah.
And you went there in November 52.
Yeah.
Now, what was your first... You know, when you arrive there and you go through the door, what was your first impression? You know, because you're almost a civilian when you get there.
You are a civilian, yeah. You got the first impression I got, really, was from... there was a sergeant there, Caddy, he is a major now. Sergeant Caddy was a training NCO. And remembering the Army Cadet days and what I looked like in the Army Cadets and looking at him, I thought, God, what a figure, you know, everything in its place, even the moustache, perfect. Typical drill sergeant, you know, but... immaculate in every way, top to bottom. And I thought, wow, what must have I looked like, you know, dressed as a young cadet trying to make me way as a soldier, you know. That was the very first impression of what I got of this guy. And I never thought of comparison or anything like that. I thought how terrific he looked, you know.
And how did they treat you? Were they kind, or when you first got there? Or not?
They were a bit bullyish, you know, come here, go there, stand still, sit down, stand up, sort of thing. But the worst thing, which is my vanity, I suppose, was they cut the hair off.
Now tell me about that. What hair?
We called him the butcher, the bloke who cut the hair, and he just, the same was anything outside your hat is yours, anything under it is yours. No, anything under your hat's yours. Anything outside is ours. That's what they used to say. And
now, what haircut did you have? Because it was a day of, it was a time of big hair.
It was we had the, what's the name, a DA then, with the big teddy boy piece at the front.
The quiff.
Yeah, and the long bit with the tail at the back, you know. And we all had that kind
of Brill creamed
hair.
Or?
Yeah. Oh, well, I used to do mine with a steamroller, you know, what my mum had. Hot it up and hot roller. And, that soon went.
Now, how bad was it? How far back did they cut it?
To the skin, almost. Well, they cut it like this. And you put your hat on and there was no hair visible, you know. Mind you, we had big hats then. I mean, we shrunk them down, obviously, but they were like a pancake.
And how did you feel about that? I mean, did you object? Or did you know it was...
Inwardly, I did, but I thought myself... Knowing how it was in the Army Cadets, they didn't like overlong hair. I mean, they weren't as strict as the Army was to become known as, you know. But I think I expected it anyway.
So you didn't object?
No, and I think I expected to be given what he called a runaround, you know, because I'd been used to that as a cadet.
Now, what kit did they give you in the Army? Do you remember what kit? Because there's a lot of it, isn't
there? Well, there was everything from vests, pants, socks. shirts. I don't think we were given ties then. Oh, yes, we were. That, they'd started wearing the open neck. We were given ties. Land Rover, Land Yard, rather, not Land Rover, Land Yard for the shoulder. The name of the regiment and the brigade shield. Boots, two pairs of. Socks, so many pairs of those. Pull through for the rifle. Needle and thread. Domestic something kit, they called that, didn't they?
Housewife.
Housewife. Given one of those. Tin of dubbing, tin of blanco, brasso, dusters, brass brush, button thing that you put on.
Button stick.
Button stick, one of them. All that came, you know, everything came. Overcoat, brass buttons.
Now, did your uniform fit you, or did it? I mean, they didn't measure you, did they?
Held it up against what size you, or you'll go. Go and try it on, you came back, and then they put a few marks in it, and it went away, and the next day you came back, and it was fitted. That's how it was fitted, roughly.
Now, what was your room like, your barrack room? Can you describe it? Because they've all changed,
It was wooden floor, solid wood floor, great big high windows, slide up and down, and I'm trying to count, let's try and count the beds in our room. 1, 2, 3, 4... 10 beds in our barrack room.
10 beds on each side, or 10 altogether?
All around the room.
Any corporal in there with your lance corporal?
No, he had a room between two rooms. There was a landing. There was two wash basins, toilets were outside, a landing, corporal's room, and two billets. Now, that was on each three levels.
So you had ten beds in there. Was there anything else in there? You have any anything else at all in your room?
You had a coal bin, a broom, big sweeping broom, a shovel, big shovel.
A locker?
And you had a wooden locker, yeah. Just trying to think of anything else. And because with all the other stuff, you had your mess tins with your kit as well.
Now, I'll come to preparing for kit inspections later. We'll do that later. But what we do is look at a typical day's training and then spin everything else off it. You know, so you're in your barrack room. What's a typical day's training like? How would it start? Because it's not that long, the basic training, is it?
No. The basic training started with your... you had to be up at a certain time, obviously. You had to be washed and dressed. And your corporal used to start the day by coming in with a pickaxe handle, banging the coal bin. Can I say a rude word on
Yes, that? Yeah, no problem at all.
Hand off cocks and on with your socks. That was the normal wake-up call, which I thought was very apt, you know. And you'd roll out of bed and get yourself down to the ablutions, have your wash and get yourself ready for breakfast. And you would get your breakfast out of the way, and then they...
Now, what was it? What was your food like all day? We'll do all the food together. I mean, you've not been that well off, but, you know, your mum's cooking all the rest of your life.
Food for me in the army was, I wouldn't say it was five-star, but it was enough of it. I think for the first time in my life, I was having three good square meals a day. I'd never had it before.
What about the quality of the ingredients and the presentation?
To me, I mean, it was probably more varied than mum could do. You know, to see a change of meal 2 days running was a luxury in the army. I felt okay.
And enough of it, not a problem for you at all?
No, I had enough of it, and I used to have more if I wanted it.
Now, what about after breakfast?
After your breakfast, back to your barrack room, clean up your tools, because they were used for inspection, and you had to have your bed ready with your overcoat on a shelf, buttons, brass, shiny.
Well, we'll do that now then. So how would you prepare for a full-on kit inspection? All the room and your gear?
First of all, your floor had to be cleaned.
And how would you clean it? And were they still using
it,
the...
You'd have a polisher, you know, you'd actually polish it.
The bumpers?
Bumper polishers, yeah.
And how far would you go with that?
Well, you'd do all round your bed. and you bit in front of your bed and you passed it on. And it, obviously it'd be swept first of all, wiped over, polished. Then you do your own, as you got rid of that, you do your own bed. Someone would polish round their bed and the windowsill. You get the done, you do yours, and then you get your what do you call it? You'd have your overcoat on the top shelf, with
in the locker,
on top of your locker or on a shelf, with your bullet pouches, and your belt is, you know, in front of it. Then down on your bed, you'd have your bed made up. You'd have all your bedding squared off, enclosed with a blanket. Then you'd have a blanket over the end of your bed, tucked in and folded back. You'd have your knife, fork, spoon, razor, comb, and a lather brush, which was our regimental march. Funny enough, when they used to play that music, can I still do that? On
yeah.
That? We used to sing, knife, sport, fork, spoon, razor, comb, and a lather brush, and that was a da 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 da. And the whole battalion would do this when we were further down the line. But and the NCOs told you, that's your marching tune, you know, get your step right in that. And you'd have your needle and thread, your housewife, what do you call it? You'd have your pull-through, which had to be scrubbed clean, shining piece of metal, the weight at the end. And the old-fashioned saying was, what is it? What's the weight of a pull-through? And that was a question they, the NCOs would ask you, and you would say, I don't know, 2 ounces, 3 ounces. They said, no, bloody, what is it? The weight of a pull-through is the brass bit at the end, because that was the weight that pulled the brass, the part of the string through. And that was a standing joke all the time. You'd have your PT kit, your plimsolls. You'd have your best boots polished with the soles blackened and the studs brass polished, all shining. Because you'd be wearing your second boot, and you'd have your denim training suit on, unless you were in battle dress. Your second battle dress, or you would have to be in the locker. Your towel would have to be at the end of your bed, nice and flat, no creases. All of your other ablutions things would have to be put away, out of the way, so they couldn't be seen. And your locker door had to be open, also clean and tidy.
Now, how would you do something like polish your boots? Because, I mean, people barely polish their boots at the best of times now. It's a different world. But well, this parade gloss...
Well, you see, being an army cadet, I had about 5 or 6 of the other guys would sit round my bed, and I'd say, now, this is what you're going to do. We'd spit and polish...
in little circles you're doing
the
on
toe caps, yeah, spit and polish the toe caps and the heel piece. Get that all done. But
what about the pimples? Yeah, because when they first get them.
When we did that, we used to get. I had a bone knife handle, and used to put polish on the bumps, and then put a match to it, and watch it burn, and grab your bone handle, rub it on whilst it's red hot. Some people were unlucky; they'd let it burn too much and spoil the boot. But most times, we'd get it right, and that's how. I suppose I taught others to do bullying up.
And you've been taught that in the cadets?
I've learnt it before, yeah.
Now, how much time would you spend polishing your boots? I mean...
Well, if you finished your training in the evening and had your tea at, say, by 5 o'clock, that's right, till light's out, you'd be cleaning most of the time.
And just polishing and polishing.
Polishing
and was it all the boot? Because it sounds like it was. Or was it just the toes
you
and the heel?
Your toes and your toe caps and your heel pieces... would be. I can show you a pair now, actually. But they're, that was what you polished mostly. All the other you just polished normally. And your soles you blackened and polished those.
But you had to do the studs.
You did your studs as well.
Now that's that. What about Blanco? Because people don't know what Blanco is.
Well, Blanco is like a large bar of soap, I suppose, but a circular. And it was obviously green. And you had a Blanco brush, and you put a little drop of water on your brush, rubbed it in the Blanco, you took all your brasses off your belts, laid that out on a newspaper, and you painted the Blanco on, and you let it dry. But in the billet where we were, one bloke might do all of the belts, because you had your number inside, so you knew who's ever might do all the belts, and someone else might do all the brasses and do them at the bed where they belonged. So when that was all dry, you come and put your brasses on your belts. Someone would do the buckles and all the work on the straps of the bullet pouches, because you always had to have them ready. And another bloke might do cap badges. You found that some blokes were better doing one thing and another, and that you'd do it like that.
Now, what was a kit inspection actually like? How did they actually treat you? You know, when you actually got going, when they came round,
well, when
the officer or the NCO,
you stood in your room, your corporal went in there and said, "Right, stand by your beds, nice and quiet." You'd all shuffle to your visors out of your bed, and then you'd hear him come in, talking to another NCO, and then your corporal, your platoon corporal or section corporal, leader or whatever, would call you up to attention, and he would then say, barrack room A, B, C, whatever, ready for your inspection. So then they salute, obviously, and then he would stand one step back and let the officer through into the door, and he would walk round the room and looking, digging the kit. If it wasn't nice, he'd have his stick and he'd just chuck it all over.
What, flick it?
Yeah, flick it over and say, take this man's name, get someone to show this man how to do this, or he might suddenly stop and say, take your berry off. Take your berry off, and you say, take your cat badge out, and you take the badge out, and he'd say, show me the back of it, and you had to show him the back that it was polished.
And what about things like in your room you had a coal scuttle and coal and stuff? How far did the ball go? Because in some places they had to...
When there's been an annual inspection later down the line, I've actually painted coal white because it was the wrong colour. But
what about the coal scuttle?
Coal scuttle was scrubbed beautifully. And then what we used to do is to get them... I used to do this myself. Get the old-fashioned razor blade and take the broomsticks and shave the broomstick so that it come to the natural wood, and you finished up with a almost never used broomstick. By the time we'd finished training, it was about half an inch thinner than it started. And that was how we kept the...
Did you mind this sort of bull? I mean, that's what it is. It's spit and polish bullshit, whatever you want to call it. Did you mind? But some people like it, and some people hate it. Some people... How did you feel?
I didn't mind. I think I enjoyed it because I didn't find it difficult. I think all that I'd had, although I'd never had a lot of things, I would never go out unless I'd ironed a shirt when I was younger. I'd never go out unless I put a brush over my shoes or comb my hair 20 times. You know, I mean, I was always, what I had was not a lot, but it went out looking $1 million, so to speak, you know.
So you didn't mind it at all?
I didn't mind it at all. I found it was, I coped with it, and I helped others to cope with it as well.